Welcome to Tribe Talk, the bi-monthly podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder of Tribe of Women. During each episode, I'll be joined by members of my tribe as we hear from guest speakers and powerful women who connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and recognizing more good men. We will also tell stories of you, our listeners, working in your communities to support your tribes and to answer your questions about how to grow the tribe of women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started.
Welcome to Tribe Talk. I'm Laurie Marshall, your co-host with Tribe of Women founder Amy Robinson. We're broadcasting from the pod at Artist Evolution. We're sponsored in part by Artist Evolution. They build successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns for businesses of all sizes. You can find them at theartistevolution.com. Hey, Amy.
Hello, Laurie.
It's great to be back in the studio with you.
Oh, it's great to have you back. We love the pod. It's such a great studio and team. Our last podcast was the first in our new format, and we interviewed Karen Ann Terrell, former CIO of Walmart. We also launched a new segment called Tribe Tips and announced our special podcast listener-only giveaway, which we'll talk about again later in this episode. The Artist Evolution team did a great job producing it for us, didn't they?
Yes, it was really impressive since it was our first time to have someone off campus doing a podcast with us. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, they've got high-quality stuff going on here.
Yes. So, who do we have with us today?
Well, through our Tribe of Women work, we have seen time and again the importance of inclusiveness among women, and that while we often build our tribes around common ages and stages of life, reaching outside of our comfort zone to create diversity of experience and thought is vital to building a healthy tribe. Diversity is grounded in our differences of age, ethnicity, and culture. So, as we are growing the tribe, we are working to do the same here on Tribe Talk. So, that is a long way of saying that we are going from our interview with Karen Ann and her vast experience of building tribes and lifting other women in corporate culture to, and we are very excited about this, millennial women supporting women in Nashville, the Song Suffragettes.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Why don't you introduce yourselves so that we can, our listeners can put your voice with your names.
Sure. Well, I'm Kaylee Shorn.
I'm Emily Reed.
And I'm Lena Stone.
Thank you so much. We found you, the way that you find anything these days, on YouTube.
Love it.
And your video, Let the Girls Play, opens with the words, when women support women, even the most established foundations can be rocked. Your mission is to nurture and support one another. Are you kidding me? Do you see why we had to have you on the show?
A must. Yes, we were reading about you guys and we were like, wow, this is absolutely perfect. So,
yay, we love a good mesh when we have folks on. So it's perfect. Tell us a little bit about how you cultivate your tribe and what are some traditions that you guys have together, or even, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be your tribe together, but with your tribes in general that kind of keep you lifted up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I moved to town, I didn't go to school and I knew no one in Nashville, and I fell in with Song Suffragettes before the first show, and was just so amazed because my tribe of women was cultivated for me and made it so much easier. I had felt pretty lost up until that point because I really didn't have any close girlfriends, and it's so essential, and it wasn't, you know, it was just because I didn't have a way of meeting people. So Song Suffragettes really helped me cultivate my tribe, and some of the traditions we have together now after 3 years of all these different girls playing is we have pretty recently we started having monthly wine nights, and we try to be super inclusive and just open it up to anyone who's ever played Song Suffragettes. And no matter how diverse the group of women that's there, we always manage to have a pretty good time. So
we are all about the monthly wine nights.
Good. Gotta have a monthly wine night.
Yes.
Crucial.
So how many girls have come through Song Suffragettes, and are they still out there doing their thing?
It's really amazing. In the last almost 3 years, we've had about 170 women come through the group, which is kind of hard to believe. There are even 170 young women trying to do country music. Who knew there were that many? But it's really awesome that we've formed this community of women, and we get so many submissions from super, super talented people. And you know, we've had, I think, over 1,000 people apply to play our show. And so it's just really, it's a really cool community to be a part of. And we're really, we love it.
So Song Suffragettes has been around since 2014. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, ironically, so has Tribe of Women. So we know, I know. So we know that these things don't happen overnight and that there is a story and a journey behind it. So tell us a little bit about how Song Suffragettes got started and where you are now.
Well, we got started, like you said, in the spring, early spring of 2014. And we have two really great producers / managers for the show, Ty Cassidy and Helena Capps. And like us, they saw that there was this hole in the music industry where there weren't enough girls being played on country radio or getting record deals or publishing deals. And so they wanted to create a place where we could spotlight that, spotlight the female creativity happening in Nashville. And they reached out to Kaylee and myself and a couple other girls. And, you know, we said, let's put together a weekly songwriting night that just shows off female writers and female artists. And, you know, we started our first show. We had maybe 10 or 15 people in the audience. We were in this really, really small venue in town. And it's just crazy to see how it's gone from that to selling out the Listening Room Cafe here in Nashville, like regularly on Monday nights. That's just a really, it's a really cool growth. And like you said, it does take work and it does take time.
I mean, when we first started playing, like all the girls who played would help tear down the set and set it up. Like, we used to lug in the chairs, and thankfully now we have interns who do that, which is
a blessing.
But yeah, it was a lot of hard work, and you know, we really we rehearsed a lot before the first shows, and now we kind of all have gotten better at just, you know, working on the fly and kind of running on instinct. But we really wanted it to be perfect, and so there was definitely a lot of effort on the production side and on the artist side for those first few shows.
Well, we just loved watching you all up there together on stage. And when you're on stage together, I don't know if you all know this, but you look so adoringly at each other.
You
definitely, you know, there's a, it's one at a time. You're performing usually individually. But I just loved watching the videos because you look at each other with such admiration. And so I guess one question is, do you all know each other when you go up on stage, or is it just kind of like you're up there together and because you're together, you are immediately connected?
So usually we know either Kaylee or Lena, and then the rest of us kind of cycle in based on the Monday and who gets asked to play. And we'll be up on stage and a girl will play a song and you'll just be mind blown that, you know, a fellow writer wrote something so interesting and so compelling. And you really feel like a deep bond with each other because you're all like bearing your soul together, you know? And I think what's really cool is that it goes beyond just the Writers Net community. Like, we've started to collaborate with each other and get into writing rooms with each other. And a girl will play a song that you really like, and you know that you need to grab a date with her. And it just kind of turned into a really neat community of girls all sharing their talents with each other.
And we really love the songs you all are rolling out. Emily, you have such a great bluesy sound. I adored.
Oh gosh, thank you.
Yes, I adored the song "If I Wanted Wine." Oh my gosh.
Mm.
Such
Thank
a good
you.
One. It is a great one. So, Lena, you have a song that you co-wrote and recorded with your fellow suffragettes. And I'm thinking of Harder to Do with Tennille Arts and Jessica Roadcap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what you're talking about when you all get together and collaborate. Tell us about those collaborations. And what is it about working together as women that maybe is a little bit unique?
Well, first of all, we love writing together, all of us. That the writing of Harder to Do was actually part of a really special day that we did with YouTube. And they basically hosted this day where we got 15 song suffragettes together, and they put us into 5 groups of 3 girls each. And we had like 3 hours to write a song. And when we were done, we performed it for a group of people here in the music industry. And they filmed it, which is probably the video that you guys saw. And that can be a lot of pressure because, you know, we write songs all the time. And sometimes you sit down for 3 hours and get a great song. Sometimes you get a bad song. And sometimes you don't get a song at all.
And so to have that performance pressure is a little intense, but it turned out really well. I think all the songs that we wrote that day were really great. And even outside of that environment, as I think Kaylee said earlier, the three of us write together a lot, and I write probably half of my writing calendar is song Suffragettes Girls.
So Kaylee and Lena, tell us about the song Fight Like a Girl. I noticed that you referenced the movie Suffragette in the video.
Yeah, we actually had like a big group screening of the movie with all the song Suffragettes. We just like, Helena and Todd were like, you guys all can come, and like Suffragette helped us put it together, and it was so, so fun, and we had a lot of fun like posing in front of the movie poster and all that. But it was such an obvious choice to include that in the Fight Like a Girl story, because it's one of the best examples in history of women banding together to change something kind of being kind of rigged against them, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so we just took a lot of inspiration from that. And I always love studying the suffragettes in history. And, I loved the incorporation of that into the song Suffragettes name, which is funny, though, because a lot of people will mispronounce it. Or, like, they'll be like, what's a suffragette? And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
So one of my favorite lines in that song is, I'm perfume sweet and whiskey strong. That rocks.
We've seen some people get tattoos of that line, which is absolutely
what?
Crazy.
What? So, that's awesome. Yeah.
That is great. I love that. So, I have to ask Kaylee, in the video with Suffragette kind of playing in the background, what does your t-shirt say?
Oh, it says, raise boys and girls the same way.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And we actually bought that shirt together, because we do everything together. And, she was like, we're shooting a music video tonight. We have to go to the mall and I need to, you know, find a top for one of the looks. And we walked into some random store and we saw it and we were like, you have to, like, that's the shirt. That's the shirt.
Yeah. Sometimes, things like that just kind of jump on you, right? We love serendipity around here, and that yeah. sounds like it.
Well, and it felt like a cool way to make a bold statement in a kind of casual way, which it shouldn't be a bold statement, but, it is.
Yeah.
So, in addition to collaborating together, what are some of the lessons that you've learned personally or as a group about women supporting or not supporting one another?
We were talking about this at the last Songs of Death show because the Grammys happened recently. And one thing that really stuck out to me is like Beyonce, Adele, and Taylor Swift are all each other's only real peers. There's not really anyone else at that level of fame and musicianship and just, you know, worldwide success. And the one thing that sticks out about all of them is that they all support each other. And I think that that's such a great testament to the fact that women who support other women will do better in the long term. And I also think that, you know, my career would not be where it was if I was against collaborating with other women and being open to the fact that someone is allowed to be more talented than I am. And so, you know, I think it's just been a great learning process for me as a human being, but also as a musician. And I'm so thankful that we have such good role models of women in the music industry who are supporting other women and also still succeeding on their own.
So one of the things you just said was talking about the suffragettes and kind of referencing history, and you're also now referencing the women that are coming before you and blazing those trails, and that you're, you know, you're walking in their wake, but you're also blazing your own trails. When I did the TEDx talk, after I left the studio, a young woman came up to me and she said, she thanked me for using the F word. And I had to pause for a second because I didn't remember saying that on stage. And I was just hoping that it could be edited out. No, I'm just kidding. But what she was talking about was feminism.
Yeah.
And it shocked me a little bit. And so what I wonder is, for you, what does feminism mean now? And one of the things that it got me to thinking about was, you know, I feel like I've been walking comfortably in the path that was blazed for me, but maybe the weeds are growing up behind me. And so are they growing up? And what do you see as the road ahead for feminism?
Yeah, I think that feminism has become a dirty word, and I have no real good explanation for why, because all it means is that women should be treated equally to men. And I think that, if you can find a way to argue that, I don't really want to be your friend. and, you know, I mean, I think that there's always bad examples of any cause, and those tend to be the loudest. And so people take those examples and use it to judge the entire group. But I think that there's so many feminists out there doing really good work and being respectful. I mean, we all love men. We write so many songs about them. Like, there's no question there.
We too. We love men.
But we just want record deals. Yeah. And we want to be treated fairly. And I think that that's a really, you know, I think that's an okay thing to ask for. And it does make me sad sometimes when I see girls being like, oh, you know, I'm not really a feminist. I don't really believe in that. I'm like, how?
You're a woman.
Right.
Like,
I think a lot of the time people genuinely don't understand what feminism is, because it's not complicated. It's just any person, man or woman, believing that men and women are equal. Absolutely. It's not that women are better or different. It's that we are equal. And that, to me, I think like Kaylee said, you know, you see sometimes the bad examples of people who take that too far to the extreme, and then they're like, well, you know, women are better than men. And that's not true either. It's like an equality thing, which seems like it should be so easy. And so that's what we're about. It's like, you know, as Kayla said, we love boys. We're all about the boys.
Absolutely. So as a thread in Tribe of Women, because the other audience, in addition to young women kind of approaching us about how important Tribe of Women's work was, the other people that were approaching us were men. They were like, yes, this needs to happen. And so kind of a thread in addition to women supporting women is cultures of more good men. Because, you know, in media today, you know, that bad boy image, all of those things are very prevalent. And so how we can lift up more good men and help men support women as much as women support women is a huge part of it. And although there are challenges, we know that there are good men out there. So what can you tell us about the more good men that are supporting you, in addition to Todd?
Yeah, well, Todd is obviously like a great example of, you know, men recognizing that women are being treated unfairly and using their position of power to help us. Because, I mean, Todd's really well respected in the music industry, and he's, you know, worked really hard for that. And he acknowledges that at times he's had it easier as a man, and so he's using that to help us. And I mean, I think that, you know, we all have good men in our lives and are very thankful to have them. Also, some of the biggest fans of Song Suffragettes are men. And after shows, you know, after Lena or I play Fight Like a Girl, a lot of times we have dads come up to us and they're like, thanks for writing this song, so I have something to play for my daughter. And like, that always just makes me tear up, because I'm like, oh my God.
And there are a lot of other, you know, other men who play a small but like important part of what we do. The listening room is owned by a man. It's booked by a man. The booking agent from CAA who helped us set up our original Song Suffragette show is a man. So, you know, Todd is obviously our biggest male champion, but there have been a lot of really great men along the way who have helped
and totally
with Song Suffragettes too.
Yeah.
And we also write a lot of these songs about guys with guys.
Totally.
And they're in the room bearing their souls, like pretending like they're girls with this. And it's really sweet and genuine to see that all happen too.
Well, it's always so funny too to like go in a room with a guy and like you're deciding what you want to write today, and they're like, yeah, I really want to write a song for a girl today. And I'm like, okay.
That's so great. Why don't you tell us what you want women in the generations ahead and behind you to know or to learn from you, like as trailblazers, well, as part of the trailblazing community in Nashville, what is it that you hope girls who are listening to your music are taking away?
I hope that girls who are listening to our music as a collective feel inspired and feel like the barriers to doing what they want to do are lower, and that we're just sort of continuing to knock those boundaries lower and lower, so that we can, like, you know, all girls can sort of pursue the dreams that they have and feel like no boy can take that away from them, and, you know, that they're just sort of capable of anything, really. Because I know that, you know, my dad and my mom made me feel that way, and my peers make me feel that way, and this town makes me feel that way, because I feel so supported and so empowered to be myself, not just because I'm a girl, but because, you know, I'm a fellow musician.
Totally. I agree with that completely.
That's awesome. So I think that very much probably like Tribe of Women, we've already established that we have a lot in common. We think a lot alike, and we're trying to accomplish a lot of the same things. And a lot like us, we kind of started out with something tangible that evolved into a movement. So what is next for Song Suffragettes, and what you're going to do next in your movement?
I think we have a lot of really cool possibilities for where to go from here. As I said earlier, we have, you know, a really great, consistent audience that comes every week to our show here in Nashville, and who tune in weekly because we stream our shows on Periscope as well. So there are a lot of people who don't live in the Nashville area who follow us on YouTube and watch the shows via Periscope. And I think one of the things that I would really love to see, if we can find a way to make it work, is to take our show on the road and bring it to other parts of the country where people love country music so much and don't know about all this hidden talent in Nashville.
Well, and a lot of them also don't even know that there's a lack of women, you know, because they hear the ones on the radio and they don't understand how hard it is to be, you know, a smaller act, like a baby act, getting your foot in the door. And so when people, like, every week we have people being like, wow, I didn't even know that this was an issue, but I'm so behind you guys. And so just, you know, I mean, that's really what it has become. It's become a movement. We're so proud to be a part of it.
So speaking on that point, because people hear women on the radio, do you have any of, are any of the women that are already successful in Nashville reaching out to you guys? Have you heard from any of them to collaborate, or that they're just wanting to support what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of, you know, the girls who are breaking through. I mean, Lauren Elena has a, I think it's going to top 10, which is crazy. It's her first top 10 with Road Less Traveled, which is an amazing female empowerment song about her overcoming her eating disorder, which I think is so inspirational. And she wrote it with Meghan Trainor. So, you know, Meghan Trainor's pulling Lauren Elena up, and Lauren Elena's playing our shows, and she's always super sweet. I mean, and I know a lot of us have gotten love from Raylan and Lauren Elena and Kelsey Ballerini just on social media. Kelsey was really quick to post about Fight Like a Girl after it came out, which was so amazing because it got me a lot of attention, and Lena and Haley, the other co-writers. And so I definitely think that they understand, and they're making an effort to pay it forward and leave the door cracked.
We like to call it Tribe It Forward. Yeah. Would you like to call it that?
Tribe It Forward.
It's so hashtaggable. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Well, and it sounds like you want to go on the road. You want to further the message and the awareness that that women are struggling in this area. And so it's probably very appropriate that you are hitting the road, and you're going to be in our neck of the woods at the Bentonville Film Festival in May.
Yes, we're so excited.
We are excited to have you. That's going to be great.
Yeah, we're excited to just bring the message to new people, and it's such a great opportunity for us to really get the word out there, and we're just really excited that we got invited.
And we all just love each other. The first thing that Kaylee said was, she was like, it's going to be like a sleepover.
Exactly. We'll have to all get together and have wine.
Can you tell I'm definitely the annoying friend?
It's called ulterior motives.
Yes. Wine motives.
Exactly.
So our last but never least final question that we ask all of our guests is, why do you believe in Tribes of Women?
Honestly, I think for me, I believe in Tribes of Women because my family is a Tribe of Women. plus my dad, who's like the biggest feminist in the world. But my mom is the oldest of four girls, and they all had girls. So my entire mom's side of the family is like 25 women. Every single one of them is successful in what they do and hardworking and supportive of each other. And so, like, I always grew up, you know, with a mom who worked and raised her kids and two grandmas who did the same thing. And I've just always been inspired by that. And so to have fallen in with a community, professional creative community like that in Nashville just confirms what I already knew, that, like, you know, when women come together, all ships rise. Yeah. And I would say I believe in tribes of women because it makes us powerful and it makes us beautiful, because jealousy and tearing others down is really ugly and it's horrible. And there, you know, there's no room in this, any more room in this world for ugly and terrible things. And I think the closer we tie each other together, we're just more powerful.
I agree. Tribes of women are super important to me. My mom was a single mom and she did double duty my entire life. And so I adulthood kind of hit me hard because I grew up and I never realized being a woman was ever considered a negative, because my mom had never, ever once, instilled an idea in me that I couldn't do literally anything I put my mind to. So I had a very blessed childhood from that perspective of my mom just being, you know, so empowering and very, like, I mean, she's just so strong. She's overcome breast cancer and abuse and just, she's the coolest person I know. And so I think my mom is a huge reason, for why I need other women in my life.
Love.
That is so great. Thanks for sharing that. As we mentioned earlier, you'll be featured at the upcoming Bentonville Film Festival, which happens right in our backyard. And we are very excited to announce to our listeners that you'll be here with us again in May to do a live music recording and be featured on the podcast.
Yes, we're so excited. We can't wait.
It's going to be a blast. Yes. I hope there's wine.
Yeah.
Always wine. Listen to our previous podcast and you will find out how much. We are really looking forward to that. In the meantime, people can find you at songsuffragettes.com, and they can also find your videos in retail there. I was really excited to see those cute t-shirts. Hello. They are great.
Yes, we love it. We love the logo. And if you zoom in on it, she's wearing like brass knuckles that say fight on them, or I think it says fight.
Either fight or resist.
It's something epic.
I love it.
We love our logo. We've had it since the beginning and it's transitioned really well.
It has. It'll last a long time. And you also want people to follow you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and probably subscribe to your YouTube channel. I think I convinced my daughter to do that today.
Oh, good.
And we are also going to entice our listeners by ending our interview with the song Fight Like a Girl.
Woo!
Hey, thank you ladies so much. And
oh,
until we meet
again. Thank you so much.
This is great. We're really looking forward to meeting you. We can't wait. It's going to be so fun and we will definitely bring some wine.
Well, until we meet again.
Per Lima's request.
Until we meet again, let the girls play.
All right. Thank you
guys
so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
all. Thanks, ladies.
Says I'm just a featherweight. He thinks the slightest breeze could blow me over. What he doesn't know is I've got a slingshot and a stone, and I can win with no one in my corner. So don't you even try to hold me back. I got my high heels on, my boxing gloves. I can knock you out with a 1-2 punch. I'm perfume sweet and whiskey strong. I damn sure ain't no underdog. I might fall down, but I get back up. I shine brightest when the going's tough. You say I can't, well darling, watch me. You can't stop me, cause I fight like a girl. Wanna make my mama proud, and you can tell without a doubt that I'm her daughter. She raised me to believe that I can be anything. So when you push me out, just push back harder. I got my high heels on, my boxing gloves. I can knock you out. Back up, I shine bright when they go.
strong. I damn sure ain't no underdog. I might fall down, but I get back up and I shine brightest when the going's tough. You say I can't, well darling, watch me. You can't stop me 'cause I fight.
Oh, Lori, I think I need a minute to catch my breath from how incredible that was. What an amazing next generation of women we have in the tribe.
Right? I am so impressed with all of those women, and I can't believe there are 170 of them now running around in Nashville. That's so great. Well, while you catch your breath, why don't we review some of the great things that we have coming up?
That sounds good.
In our last podcast, Lorrae unveiled our podcast listener-only contest to win a Get One, Gift One basket supported by two of our sponsors, Wild Heart Designs and Arcade Coffee Roasters. Mm-hmm. It's a basket with two of our Love Your Tribe t-shirts from Wild Heart, 2 pounds of coffee from Arcade, and it is very, very good coffee, and
so good.
2 Love Your Tribe mugs, coffee mugs or tea mugs, but we like coffee.
Yes, and there's a special way to do that.
Yes, you're only going to know about this contest if you're listening to this podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
All you have to do is sign up for our newsletter by clicking Join the Tribe at our website, tribeofwomen.com, between now, which is episode 4, and March 14th release of episode 5. So you have a whole 2 weeks, and you're entered to win a Love Your Tribe basket to share with your tribe.
Oh, I have a special place in my heart for this giveaway because it really reinforces our value of gifts. As a matter of fact, all of our retail items, soon to be found online at our website, have a Get One, Gift One incentive built in. And when you join the tribe and our newsletter, you're not only entered to win the gift, you'll also be the first to know when our online shop goes up and new products are released.
That's exciting. Yeah. Everybody likes to be first.
Now I'm breathing again.
Good.
So I think it's time to dig into another new reveal.
Well, you know, our listeners are going to get spoiled with all this excitement.
I know, right? Well, we do have a lot going on. This is a movement, and we are moving and shaking and singing. We're doing it all. Well, last month, we introduced our tribe tip segment that we will feature once per month. And today, we are revealing our other monthly segment because we're a bi-monthly podcast, and it's all about the stories of women and their tribes.
We've been listening to and gathering stories of women for years, and they're an integral part of the Tribe Talk conversations that we're invited to facilitate around the world.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I wish that I'd had a recording of the stories that women are telling of their mothers, their grandmothers, their sisters, daughters, nieces, friends. They are deep places where we are rooted, and some of which are buried until we speak them, and they remind us of who we are. They are also the place where we, as women, connect. We see, hear, and feel one another in and through our stories. So somehow along the way, we found ourselves compelled to take action and capture these stories. We started with a place on our website where people could go to write their story, and that still exists, but not everyone is a writer, and not everyone wants to write about themselves. Then last year, you and I, Lori, were invited to interview filmmakers at the Bentonville Film Festival.
Oh, that was so much fun. It totally blended my love for what we're doing and also my amazing fascination with film.
Yes. And we were there to capture stories about their films for social media, but because so many of the filmmakers were women, we also had the opportunity to ask them about their tribes.
Yeah, we got some great stories, and I think this was our aha moment, right, where we decided that we needed to go where women gather and ask questions and have conversations and just let the stories flow.
Yes, and these stories will soon live on our website, and we'll feature some in our newsletter, another great reason to join the tribe. But now, we'll also feature them monthly here on the podcast with this new segment called
Da-da-dum!
Tribe Stories. Well, I can think of no better way to launch this segment than with your recent story of going where women gather in a big way. So tell us about the Women's March on Washington and what you have for us today.
Yeah, right. There was only 500,000 people there, and I think probably 3/4 of them were women. As you said, we go where women gather. It's not only a natural way for us to share the mission of the Tribe of Women, it's also the best way for us to really listen. We can't affect change by sitting around in our favorite coffee shop talking about it, right?
Really?
We try. We try to do that, but we have to get out. To that end, on January 21st, 2017, I stood and walked and conversed with women and men of all ages and races and backgrounds who converged on Washington, D.C. While everyone on the mall that day surely had their own specific reasons for being there, I recognized several themes that came through as I talked to people. Many people I spoke with were concerned not only about the rights of women that they felt were in jeopardy, but people in disenfranchised and minority communities across the board. Charlotte shared her belief in the power that is inherent in tribes of women.
I'm here because I feel very strongly about social justice and equality, not just for women, but for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we came from Virginia, southwestern Virginia, with my sister and some women, strong women, that all believe really strongly in how women can be powerful and make a huge difference.
And Kathy was, as many of us were, there to stand in solidarity with all women and all the concerns being expressed. She was so passionate and inspiring. She literally made me want to be a part of her tribe. I think we exchanged cards. See if you don't feel the same way after hearing what she has to say.
I am here because I've always been here, standing for the empowerment of women and any of those who are disenfranchised. But I also am here because I am standing for all the little girls who came after me, my little girls in the community that I work with, the women in my church, the sister here, the UCC, we're for social justice. So I am here for all women, and I'm here to stand with all my sisters so that we can let those other people know that we are not going to take it sitting down. Ain't going to let nobody turn us around.
Another woman who spoke to my heart was Vanessa, a young mother from Arizona. She and her friend Tiana were united in recognizing the more good men in their lives, both the men they were seeing there at the march and the ones they left at home.
I knew there was going to be women here, but seeing men, middle-aged white men here, to be more specific, gives me hope. And as a Latina, to know that I'm not alone and that they're here supporting us. And more importantly, our husbands can deal with strong women. They're at home taking care of our children. And we work as a team. And that's how we keep our tribe going.
So were there a lot of men at the march?
So many men. It was really exciting to see men of all ages there with their wives and girlfriends, I assume, and some on their own. I saw a lot of families. I was really surprised, actually. It was something that consciously occurred to me while I walked around, how many men and families were there.
Were you able to talk to them? What were their reasons that they gave for attending?
I did focus mainly on talking to women, but I spotted this young man named Dave and pulled him aside in front of the Air and Space Museum. He had come to the march alone from Boston to represent his mother and sister.
At home, which is a big part of the reason I'm here, I have my mother and my sister, and my mother raised me and her, for the most part, single, all alone. And I've had, you know, so much respect for my mother for being able to do that and, like, hold down 3 jobs at a time and always keep a roof over our head. Women's issues like the pay gap is like heartbreaking to me because I know like how hard especially single mothers like mine work, and I feel the need to do something about it.
So awesome. He's such a great example of more good men.
Agreed. He represents his gender very well. His mother would be proud. So I have one more clip to share. I met Marlo from Michigan and her daughter, Melissa, who lives in D.C., at a craft supply store the night before the march.
Of course you were at a craft supply store.
Exactly. We were converging on the poster board aisle at a local store. And even though the march hadn't yet taken place, Marlo and Melissa were able to perfectly sum up the feelings that so many of us who participated in D.C. and around the world felt as we headed home.
It just makes me so proud, and to see all of this, all these women banding together
and standing up for our rights and for progress rather than regression is just, I'm just really proud to be a part of it.
I'm optimistic because we're standing here having this conversation right now that we would not have otherwise had. And just even the act of coming together with my mom and my daughter, thinking about what we're going to even put on our posters, has started a lot of conversations that we wouldn't have had otherwise. So I think it's, this march is just the beginning.
Oh my goodness. I am so excited about the Tribe Stories segment, and I'm especially excited that we got to start with your stories and your journey, and we will be continuing to collect stories and doing interviews and going where women gather. So thank you so much, Lori.
You bet.
And thank you, everyone, for choosing to be with us today. Until next time. Do you believe in tribes of women? Join the movement in our newsletter at tribeofwomen.com and be the first to learn about upcoming podcast guests, product releases, events, and giveaways. Find, subscribe, and rate the Tribe Talk podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and other major platforms, and share it with your tribe. Then follow us for inspiration, information, events, and more on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram using @tribeofwomen.
This is Tribe of Women.
Lorraine Mosier,
Courtney Lawless,
Lori Marshall,
and Amy Robinson. Thanks for listening.